Thank you, Penelope. The final set of news stories for today's recording begins with the city's clock working again after another malfunction. The City Hall clock tower has been brought back to life after a malfunction left it in need of specialist repair. Norwich's timepiece failed on Wednesday, July the 23rd, but it's back up and running again after the motor which drives its hands had failed. Norwich City Council has announced the clock's motor had to be removed for the repair. The authority has also recently revealed how much it has spent on the device, which is part of the City Hall building, in the last 5 years. The latest repairs are not included in the previous costs of £1,200 a year spent on servicing the clock and £4,224 spent on repairing it since 2020. On top of this, 8 years ago, it underwent a £200,000 restoration project, which was lambasted in January by a member of the public who called out its low-quality gilding that had begun to peel. The clock dates back to 1938, but has had a number of faults in recent years. A council spokesman said, "The clock on City Hall has been a much-loved part of Norwich's skyline since 1938, and understandably, with a mechanism of this age, occasional faults can happen."
It was one of the most traumatic events to happen to the city, but since the Second World War, when Norwich suffered heavy bombing, the cityscape has transformed into one that, for some, may be unrecognisable. The bombing was part of Luftwaffe raids against the RAF who had struck Lübeck in the early 1942. The Luftwaffe then targeted a number of cities known for their cultural and historical value, including Bath, Exeter, Canterbury, York and also Norwich. It led to more than 200 men, women and children losing their lives during what was known as the Bardecker raids. In addition to the loss of life, the city was left in ruins. Areas like St Benedict Street, Rampant Horse Street and Carrow Hill had many buildings damaged and the streets were filled with rubble. Those people who had survived had lost their livelihoods and had to turn to other organisations for help. One of the organisations, which was known as Mutual Aid Good Neighbours Association, was run by Ruth Hardy, who helped hundreds of families during this time. It is believed that when King George VI visited the city in October 1942 to see the ruins for himself, he told her, "Mrs. Hardy, there is too little friendship in the world today. Do keep up the wonderful work when the war is over." But not all buildings in the city were destroyed. The city's landmarks that survive included the castle, St. Peter Mancroft, City Hall, and the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist. Norwich Cathedral was also targeted and damaged, but it managed to survive owing to its structure and efforts from fire watchers. While the damage caused across Norwich has been rebuilt and repaired, there are a number of plaques and memorials to remember those who fought in and lost their lives during the war.
Football fans will be swapping sausage rolls for sweet treats as Carrow Road's latest foodie offering has been revealed. Bakerholics is joining Norwich City's new third kit in painting the town pink for the 25-26 season. The stall will pop up at the South Stand for the first time on Saturday and will be there for every home game for the rest of the season. Morgan Lewis, owner of the cake company, said, "This is something I've always wanted to do." Following the success of the Lionesses at this year's Euros, Miss Lewis said she was investigating popping up for the women's games too. Norwich City Women will play Luton Town and Cambridge United at Carrow Road during the new season. All the classic Bakerholics goods will be on offer for football fans, as will a few green and yellow themed cakes. This isn't the only plan Miss Lewis has for Bakerholics this year, with the business set to hit the road in an effort to reach more people around Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire. However, details are being kept under wraps for now. The company opened its first store in Attleborough in 2021, but Miss Lewis has been touring markets and events around East Anglia before then. There's also a permanent stand inside Chantry Place in Norwich.
A well-known city centre pub is at risk of falling into ruin as it remains in disrepair nearly two decades after being put on the council's Heritage at Risk list. The Mischief Pub, part of which date back to the 16th century, has been deemed in a very bad condition and at highest risk of further deterioration due to damp problems. Concerns about the building were first raised in 2008, but no solution to the degradation or plans to carry out repairs were agreed between the authority and the pub landlord. While Norwich City Council acknowledged the risk class may be eligible to be revised downwards, they say it is on the owner to implement measures to take the building off the list. Parts of the original 16th century building remain, but the front of the Mischief was rebuilt in the 19th century after the road was widened for the city's tram network. The pub used to be known as the Wine Vaults. In 1963, it was renamed the Mischief. In the 1960s, the pub hosted the Jacquard Club, a folk group where musicians included Paul Simon, who played.
A teenage hero who went to his father's aid after he suffered a cardiac arrest has been recognised for his swift efforts. It had been a typical day for Nathan until his father, Bob Adams, collapsed at their farm in Bunwell near Attleborough on March the 22nd this year. The 18-year-old, who found his father had taken a serious turn for the worse while working on his tractor, immediately dialed 999 and shouted to his mother, Sarah Briggs, for help. While she began CPR, Nathan ran to fetch the nearest defibrillator half a mile away from their home. He rushed back to his dad's side and took over CPR from his mum while she set up the defibrillator. And it was thanks to his swift actions that they were able to restart his heart before paramedics transported him to hospital for treatment. Despite their efforts, tragically, the 74-year-old heating engineer died a week later, on March the 30th. But speaking about her son's heroic actions, Mrs. Briggs said, "I'm very proud of him, immensely proud. He did more than I expected an 18-year-old to do." Now the teen has been announced as Old Buckenham Airshow's community hero after being nominated by Mrs. Briggs.
Young people today lack the soft skills needed to communicate effectively with colleagues and customers, employers in East Anglia have said. Writing emails and speaking to people on the phone are among the basic tasks bosses claim youngsters are struggling to do in the workplace due to anxiety and lack of confidence. The shortage of these types of skills amongst the new generation of workers was discussed recently at the Norfolk and Suffolk Careers Hub conference at Barnum Broom Hotel. Employers at the event pledged to address the issue by offering more opportunities for experience and working with schools to make expectations clearer, better preparing students for the world of work. Work experience reforms, where students would be expected to finish high school with more than 50 hours of work experience, were also discussed, as well as the need to support young people with health conditions to find jobs. Norfolk and Suffolk Careers Hub improves careers education for young people by working directly with schools, colleges, apprenticeship providers and employers. Flight Lieutenant Sarah Duffy, Royal Air Force OC Careers Engagement in the Midlands, added, "The Careers Hub is a force multiplier, facilitating effective and informed discussion between employers and educators to ensure young people are better informed about career choices and supported with preparation into the workforce."
And that's it. We've now arrived at the end of this edition of Chatterbox, and we hope you've enjoyed it. As usual, we remind you that when you've finished with the recording, turn the address label in the wallet over and pop in the memory stick and drop it in a postbox. You don't have to pay any postage at all, as the postal service is free. Incidentally, if you have any older recordings on sticks, please remember to return those as well.
Our thanks go to the whole team of over a dozen loyal volunteers who have produced today's edition. The editor was Ian Gorst and the sound recordist was Simon Pitt. If you would like to let us know anything about the items you have heard about today, what you have enjoyed or not, as the case may be, you can call us on 01603 765 365. The office is not staffed every day, so if there is no reply, please do leave a message on our answer phone and we will get back to you as soon as we can. You can also send us an email at contact@cbtn.org.uk. And with that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Chatterbox. Next week's edition may have a slightly different sound to it. No clues, but listen next week to hear if you can spot the difference. So from me, Sarah and John, it's goodbye. And don't forget, keep listening for August edition of the Norfolk Magazine. Goodbye.